Snack Bar Games Podcast. And welcome to Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 258. It's the post E3 edition. I am Graham, and this week I'm here with a group of guys to talk about what happened last week at the show. I'm going to need some help because I am not yet able to fully process what happened at the show. Hey, Andrew, what happened at the show that I was at?
Well, let's see. Video games.
Okay.
That's the top of the list.
Okay.
Video game consoles. And then okay. I guess number three would be more video games. That's, I think that about sums it up.
Right. Okay.
Right.
I mean, I'll trust you.
Yeah. Yeah. I was paying attention.
Okay.
That was my week last week. I was more relaxed probably than you were, but I was paying close attention.
Everyone was more relaxed than I was last week.
Even Sean?
Sean, yes.
I think I was the most relaxed person at E3.
Sean isn't. Sean should be less relaxed.
Oh.
Like, there are times when he should be more alert.
I can be relaxed and alert.
He needs to respond to stimuli.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
Like an alive person. Hey, Henry's here this week. Henry, how's it going?
Hey, Graham. I'm pretty good. I am. I can only imagine how overwhelmed you guys must be actually going to the show, because I was blown away by reading about watching E3 coverage throughout the last week. It's just been crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So Jeff is here joining us this week to talk to the news. How was your E3 experiencing time?
Busy, but nowhere near as busy as yours.
Well, I mean, thankfully, you know what I'm saying?
One of those cases where you probably see more from home than you do at the actual
you
show.
You absolutely do. The years that I have not been there, I've known everything as soon as it happens. Now I don't know the things yet, and it's days later. So, yeah.
Well, hey, but hopefully. you guys probably saw lots of lineups, and we don't get to see that many. So there's something.
Lineups like lineups or like lines, like queues? Or
yeah,
like,
yeah, to play the games and stuff.
Like slates of software from a publisher. This is our lineup.
Mobs of people everywhere.
Oh, okay, people.
There were definitely lots of people.
There were people there. I can confirm that there were people.
I pretty much avoided anything that had lines except for Thief.
Yep.
How was the smell? Where was everybody showered? And well groomed.
It's somewhere. How do I put this?
Better than last time.
Maybe. It's a few notches better than Comic-Con. Because a lot of people, 95% of people are being paid to be there.
Well, everything is a few notches better than Comic-Con.
This is probably true. But yeah, there are always the unfortunate people who don't leave the house except for E3. Those people exist. I tend to be in close proximity to them every time.
Oh dear.
It's the same guys.
They probably find you. They're probably like looking for you and just, let's just follow that guy around.
Oh man, I hope not. Rounding out our panel is my partner in crime, Sean. Sean, you gotten any rest since we got back?
No. In fact, I think I'm still on California time because I keep falling asleep at like 3 a.m.
Okay. Yeah. I fall asleep at 3 a.m. and 1 a.m. and 11 p.m. and 7 p.m. and like 2 p.m.
Yeah, actually,
time zone is that?
Every time
all of them.
Zone? Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so great. Graham is in every time zone right now.
I exist outside of time.
Oh.
Yep. Apparently.
I guess so.
Okay. So we are going to skip our news section because our feature is The news was E3, and we will talk about that in a little bit. But let's go ahead and talk about some games that are like complete and like available for purchase instead of shown in a trailer and available maybe next year, probably not. Yeah, Henry?
Let's do it.
About that. All right.
Oh, well, as much as I like to speculate about what release date, what it means when they say a release date is 2014, because if last time I checked, there's usually about 365 days in a calendar year.
Roughly,
so that's not really a release date. I mean, they just may be showing a year.
It's a release window.
It's a window. I would call that a release stadium. That's a very large window. but let's get on to some games you guys have been playing. We'll start with Remember Me. And I think Sean and Andrew have been playing Remember Me. And I'm very interested to hear about this one.
Oh, yeah, Sean, you take the lead on this.
All right.
Do you remember playing it, Sean?
Hey.
Ba-da-bum.
I see what you did there.
Also, like, you may not, because we played about 8,000 games since.
Yeah, I do remember playing it. It's a very interesting premise, but the game itself is pretty much standard fare for action games right now. So, for those that don't know, Remember Me is a futuristic cyberpunk game that takes place in a world where you can buy and sell memories and get addicted to them and completely forget who you are. If you are, you know, if you get addicted to the memories. Anyway, you play as Nilan, a memory hunter who is able to steal memories and also change memories so that she can change the way people think things happened and change their motivations for doing things. And she was captured. Her memories were taken from her. Now she's trying to get them back. And that's pretty much the premise of the game. And so you go in there, you have to fight a bunch of people, you know, do lots of parkour.
Sure.
And you do all that in a pretty interesting looking world. I know that Andrew and I both had one of our favorite things was the fact that because everything is an interconnected web of memories and you have a little piece of technology integrated into your spine, there's augmented reality all over the world. Yes, the Sensen.
Sure.
Everything has augmented reality on it, and you just see it there. And so it was really neat having all of your gameplay tips on what to do or where to go shows up looking exactly the same as store signs or warnings about construction. So it actually looks like it fits instead of feeling like a game when you see places you're supposed to go.
Yeah, if I had to compare it to anything, I'd compare it to the kind of the menu system in the Dead Space games in terms of how it's integrated into the world. It's not just, oh, this magic menu pops up and the game is paused and I can just see everything in this menu that no one else can see, but this is actually in the world, which that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, the aesthetic seems really cool. What concerns me the most is the combat. Is the combat mashing buttons a whole bunch until you win?
Pretty much. Okay. I mean, there are combos you can learn and mix and match that you will use sometimes, but mostly only in boss battles for me. Pretty much any other time, I just mashed the shortest combo that did the most damage for me and killed everyone that way because it was the easiest way to make sure that I didn't get any combos wrong because it doesn't necessarily always recognize your button pushes.
Hmm. Hmm.
Well,
it's concerning.
Yeah. See, I had that problem at first. I think it's not well explained, the combo system, but my problem was originally that I was hitting I wasn't timing the button presses right. And eventually I ended up seeing this pop up on the screen about 10 or 20 times that told me, "Hey, idiot, stop doing that. This is how you do it." And eventually I actually took the time to read that. It's like, "Oh, they're not just insulting me, they're actually telling me what to do." So after that...
Not only insulting me, they're also bossing me around. Great!
Yeah, exactly. I think the combat can be something that you might really enjoy, but the kind of create a combo customization system, they don't really do a ton with it. So you could end up doing what Sean did for most of the game, which was use the same three hit combo and take out most of the enemies, which I did a little of that too. I tried to experiment more, but in the end, I just found it to be the easiest to do the most basic combo all the time, which is kind of unfortunate.
Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, so the world is interesting. Does the story play out in like an interesting way? Does it progress the narrative in a, I don't know, is it compelling?
Yeah, it's the narrative itself questions within Nolan's psyche, I guess, between missions and chapters. You see her questioning what she's doing and why she's doing it, and the people that she's working that are helping her do it, like what are their motivations, because she's pretty much doing some really bad things to society while trying to get her memory, and she doesn't really know why she's doing it. She's just trusting the people around her. So it's really interesting seeing how it works with the whole amnesia protagonist thing.
Mm. Yeah, this one, like, it's a trope, but this game really kind of leans into that. Like, that it is the whole point of the game, is that she can't remember anything.
Right. And so it does have some issues with the combat, and a couple times the camera gets really weird whenever you're platforming, or sometimes even in the middle of battles.
Mm-hmm.
So if they could fix that and get the combat working more fluidly and more intuitively,
yeah,
I think they another game in the series could be a really, really great game.
I think if I had one wish, it would be open up the world more, because I knew going into this game would be linear, but it always disappoints me when they craft this really, really highly detailed, amazing world, and you basically just get to watch it in the background. You can't. There's basically no interaction with it except for the people you punch that try to punch you back. So
yeah, that's true. It's very restrictive.
It looks great, and I like that they tried something different. I think I always give games a little bit of slack that, like you guys are mentioning, that the gameplay maybe isn't all that great, but I always give games slack when they at least try something new. It's like a sort of a failed wonderful experiment that could lead to a, like you guys are mentioning, maybe a really solid sequel.
Yeah, I think Remember Me definitely fits into that category. I think it's an interesting experiment that doesn't always succeed, but when it does, it does it pretty well.
Okay, so here's the important question. If it got a sequel, what would be the name of that sequel?
Remember Us?
I like that. I like that.
How about Remember Wii U? Or no, wait.
Remember what? You.
Remember
it's
Wii?
It's a Wii U exclusive.
Yeah, Remember You, yeah. No, actually, no. All they could do is take the title and just add a question mark. And then if people buy the game, that is clear that they remember. But if they don't, then the answer is no.
Remember Me?
Remember Me?
Remember Me?
How about Forget About It?
It should just be Remember Me, and then the subtitle is, this is a sequel to that game.
And then the box art is just someone looking at the box art of the first game.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks for that. Let's let's move on. I figure that, did you guys have any closing thoughts, or should we move on to the next game?
I would, if I had mentioned anything else, I'd say that there are these puzzle sequences called the memory, where you actually mix the memories, and there aren't many of them, unfortunately, but they are the coolest parts of the game, and I was glad whenever I got to one of those, because they allowed for a lot of really neat experimentation.
Yeah, you get to see all sorts of different things happen. See, even if it has nothing to do with what you're trying to get done, it's really neat to just mess around with all the different things in the memories you can change, and see what happens afterwards.
I would play an entire game based on just screwing with people's memories. That sounds great to me.
Sounds good to me too.
That sounds scary.
Uh-oh. I won't mess with your memories, Graham, I promise.
How would I know?
You're right.
Maybe you already have. All right, maybe. Let's talk about new game. Moving on. Animal Crossing New Leaf. Graham and Andrew, I know you guys are going to have a lot to tell me about the new Animal Crossing game, because it looks fun.
So, is Animal Crossing?
Animal Crossing.
I think we covered it. Is that? Are we done?
Yeah.
Are we done, Andrew? Or is Animal Crossing? Remember Animal Crossing? It's that game.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if I'm gonna let me expand.
Is it like Harvest Moon, where you all know what you're getting every time, or is this one really good compared to the others, or what do you think?
It doesn't have NES games.
That's true.
Okay.
This is why the original Animal Crossing will always be the best
Animal Crossing.
Yeah. But I also believe that the first Animal Crossing you play will be your favorite. There's that too. So
no,
if you've never played an Animal Crossing game,
then you should go play the one with the NES games in it. Because come on.
No, I would actually.
But this may actually this may be the second best Animal Crossing game.
This is the best Animal Crossing without NES games.
Right. Yes.
Yes. I think. Yeah.
So I mean, do we want to explain that a little bit? So after the GameCube Animal Crossing, which was an enhanced port of the N64 game, we got Wild World on the DS, and then City Folk on the Wii was basically an enhanced port of the DS game. So this is a new one. I am going to go out on a limb and say that there's going to be an enhanced port of this game, and it will be for the Wii U.
All right.
Yeah. At which point that will probably be the best Animal Crossing game, though maybe not, because maybe it's better that it's portable.
Yeah, it depends. Honestly, some people really like playing Animal Crossing on the go. Some people prefer it on their TV. I am actually the one, despite my love for the original Animal Crossing, I think Animal Crossing is better on portables. That's one thing I will concede to.
Well, yeah. No, look, if the portable ones also had NES games in them, then I'd be all
for it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But
I mean, I think, like,
you know what? I'll take Game & Watch games if I have to. Like, whatever you are willing to put in there without charging me.
Okay. I don't know what they can get away with that. I don't know if they can get away with anything, considering how they're reselling those now. Not Game & Watch games, but
just, I would even be okay if it just read what your virtual console purchases are and let those be what's in your house.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I want to play a game where I play my virtual console games.
Yeah. I mean, and then in the game, it doesn't have to be separate NESs that take up your house. You could just have one, since a lot of the virtual console games on the 3DS are Game Boy games, you could just have a Game Boy in the game, and then you turn that on, and you pick your game from your virtual console games, and you just play that game through Animal Crossing.
That's pretty cool.
Well, that's not actually in this game, though.
No, that's not actually in this game. We're speaking hypothetically here.
But so what is in this game is more things to do as time goes on, I guess would be the best way to put it. The new thing in this game is that you, or at least the first person who starts playing the game, is the mayor. And you have to do some things to get approval first, but basically it's doing all the things you'd do anyway. and then you get to, I mean, it justifies why you get to build bridges and how you get to put them where you want to put them, but then you have to raise money for them and, you know, put in like benches and clocks, and you can, you know, since you're the mayor, you can like pass basically ordinances like that justify why you can change when shops open and close. So that stuff happens, and there's a lot more to raise money for. It's not just paying off your house anymore. So there's that. There's the like street pass functionality of being able to like look and buy things out of people's houses. It's a lot easier with Spot Pass to visit other people's towns now because you can just kind of do it if you're friends with them. So that part's easier. There are more and more segmented shops. Like they've moved KK Slider out of the museum and into his own club thing. There's a special gardening shop. There's a special, they've made smaller and more specialized shops.
They kind of Nook took the stuff.
Nook doesn't do things anymore. It's his nephews, and Nook is just a real estate agent now.
It seems like that's what he's always dreamed
of. But I mean, now he sells like mailboxes and doors and like roof repainting and stuff. So
They basically took like this, all the city stuff from City Folk, and kind of condense it a little and put it in its own little section in this game. You don't have to take a bus or whatever to the city now.
And also it's better.
Yes, it's much better.
Yes.
And so, I mean, when you first start out, you don't have like access to all of this stuff, but over time you could start, you know, either earning them through like shopping at these places or building them through your mayoral powers.
Yeah, I think that was the most frustrating thing to me. Was when I got to the first Saturday night and I could not get a KK Slider song because
I know
like you're basically, I think time wise, you just can't. Yeah. Because there are buildings that won't build until you get the second shop, and the second shop won't show up like at a minimum of 10 days or something. So it's one of those things. Yeah.
Go ahead.
As one of the people who bought it on eShop and downloaded it as soon as it was available, I kind of realized there was a problem with this because it became available at like 12:01 a.m.
There's nothing to do.
So I downloaded it and all of the stores are closed.
Yeah. Well, you can. They do let you do all the tutorial stuff, but there's less tutorial
stuff now.
Yeah.
The walk around and say hello to everyone. That if they're not awake, well, whatever. You got to wait till they're awake to say hello.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I think
the KK Slider thing is neat because now he's not only an acoustic guitar player, he's also a DJ. So you get KK all week.
Yeah, but you can only get songs from him on Saturday. It still keeps that going. I think it's a nice compromise to still make getting a song special, but you still get more KK Slider when you want him.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean that part's nice. What do you think about the new characters?
The new characters. See, honestly, all the Animal Crossing games besides the original kind of just blend together. So I'm trying to, I can't place who is new and who isn't. I know Isabel, she's new and I think she's great.
Yeah.
She's kind of your assistant.
She's kind of the best, and I feel so bad for her because I just want to chat with her. Can't do that. She will only talk to you if you are over the counter or sitting in your mayor's chair. Like, sorry, I can't speak to you. What?
Sorry. She even says, sorry, I know this is a bit weird, but if you want to talk to me, you got to be sitting in the chair or
also, like, she doesn't ever sleep or go on vacation.
Yeah, she's kind of there all the time.
She's kind of my favorite, and I don't, like, I live weird hours, and she needs to go have fun.
You need to have a sit down chat with her and say, look, you need a vacation. Here's some bells, you know, just take a week off. We'll get someone to handle the extra work.
There are some people in town I hate way more that I'd be happy to have work in there and not talk to me unless I'm sitting behind my mayor's desk.
Yeah, well, I mean, Mr. Rossetti's out of a job until you build his reset place, whatever that facility is you have to build for him.
Does he still yell at you?
The first time I just did it just to see, cause I have to see Mr. Rossetti at least once. So I actually saved the game, went to save and continue, and then just turned it off. So I did save, but then I just quit out of the game. So it didn't actually count as saving and quitting. And then when I turned the game back on again, he popped up and started to yell at me, but then he said, but you know what? I'm out of a job now. So I can't do this to you anymore. See ya. And then Isabel basically tells you that you can build a place for him. It's one of the public works projects that opens after you see him the first time. And basically once you build that, you basically get the ability to have him yell at you if you forget to save the game. That's like all that does. So if you really miss Mr. Rossetti, you gotta buy him back.
Basically. I guess he's a municipal worker.
And exactly.
There are budget cuts.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
He shows up on the error screen when you're in someone else's town.
That's I will say they're the biggest problem I have with this game, at least for the first week I've played it. I've done a lot of multiplayer because I have a lot of people to play with and visiting towns. They visit my town, a lot of going back and forth, and there have been frequent disconnection errors. And I think it's just a problem with the servers, I assume, or something, because I played a decent amount of City Folk online too, and I never had that problem even like launch day with that game. So I don't know, maybe just more people are playing this, but it's been a problem. It's I think it's getting a little better, but it still seems to be somewhat problematic. And the worst part is if you're in an online game and the game hasn't saved in a while, because you can't manually save yourself when you're in someone else's town. And you disconnect, you'll lose all that progress. You just show up back in your own town, and it's kind of a shame. So hopefully they get that patched up.
It has been breaking a lot of sales records on the eShop, at least.
Oh yeah,
so it could be a simple capacity thing.
Yeah, I mean, let's address that, because this is basically if you're gonna buy just one game on the eShop, this is the one to get, because you want to play it for short bursts all the time.
All the time, yep. So that's that is the way to go with this game. I usually avoid digital purchases if I can, but I knew that I had to get this game digitally.
I mean, you could just get every other game digitally and keep it in the slot, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It is the only 3DS game I have from the eShop that isn't like virtual console.
Yeah, I have Fire Emblem, but that's for other reasons.
Chalk this game up to another list on my list of reasons I still need to get a 3DS, because it does sound, with a few minor annoyances, it does sound pretty fun.
Yeah,
I mean, when was the last time you played an Animal Crossing game, Henry?
Never!
Okay. Oh, right. No, you absolutely need to play this one.
You need to play this
and,
one, yeah.
And I've never played a Fire Emblem, and Graham said I need to play Awakening. Yes.
Basically buy a 3DS right now, is what we're saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did 2 months ago. I'm pretty happy with it. So.
Yeah.
I hold your opinions in the highest regard.
Just one warning, though. Those two games, Fire Emblem and Animal Crossing, I speak from experience. It's a dangerous combination. Because both of those games are incredibly addictive.
Yeah.
They will consume you.
Yeah, so be warned.
Imagine what happens if I play both of them at the same time. I'm still playing Dota 2. That's my drug of choice at the moment.
If you play Dota, Fire Emblem, and Animal Crossing,
I would just die. I'd probably not sleep
or
eat.
It's going to be... We're going to have to, you know, dedicate every episode of this podcast from now on in your memory. You'll forget to eat and it will just be over.
Well, hey, in that case, I wouldn't miss another podcast. I would always be there.
In spirit.
Cool. Okay. All right, guys. Well, thanks for your report on Animal Crossing. Sounds like a lot of fun. Let's move on to our last games of the game section before we start talking about E3. And it's hard to believe that a single game would overshadow the juggernaut of E3. But if any game could, it might be.
We were already talking about Animal Crossing.
No, oh, sorry. Sorry. No, right. Two games.
Sean, I think, can attest to this, though. Maybe not so much as me, because I was getting all the street passes, but everybody had Animal Crossing.
Really?
Yes, except for me.
You could you would street pass people, and it was clear that everybody bought it on Sunday and was trying to play through it like at night, every night, so they'd have slightly better towns. Anyway,
I don't think you can come up with two games that are more in contrast. But Andrew, The Last of Us,
man, yeah, it's weird.
I want to play this game.
You should play this game.
I will be soon.
It is very weird to put down my 3DS after playing Animal Crossing. It's like, all right, now I'm going to go to this post-apocalyptic world that is absolutely nothing like Animal Crossing and just like try to survive.
Yeah.
And it's dark and this game is stressful. Let me just say that.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
This is one of the first games I've played in a long time where I wanted to keep playing. Like, part of me wanted to keep playing. But I forced myself to stop because it was stressing me out. I had to put down the controller and I had to pick up Animal Crossing, play that for like an hour, It is incredibly tense. It has one of the darkest openings of a game I've ever played. It's a very cold open. It's amazing though. This is such a huge leap from the Uncharted games for Naughty Dog. Like, that those games are, sure, you're playing as Drake killing a bunch of people, but those games are so like kind of adventure, gung-ho, just fun time games where you're just saving the world. Indiana Jones,
right?
Yes, those are Indiana Jones. This is like, if you've ever seen the movie The Road, this is that in video game form. Yeah. So it's dark, it's does not pull any punches, and it's not. I think one of the big things with this game that has come up is whether or not it's fun to play, which I think this kind of speaks to the fact that not all games need to be fun to be compelling,
right?
Which I think people who go into this game expecting like a darker Uncharted will be very shocked, because
it's not like that.
What's that?
It's not just a grittier version of Uncharted. I've heard people, because I know you guys are probably like me. We've all played a lot of games and we like to explore pretty much everything we can and try and get every item and blah, blah, blah. I've heard in this game that people will purposely not go into specific rooms because they know the enemies are there and they just want to get they want to get past them. It's like, it's a very stressful situation. They just want to, they don't want to be that kleptomaniac and get the achievement for collecting everything. And that's rare. Cause I mean, in most games you're like, oh yeah, the, you know, killed all the bad guys. So now I'm going to explore this, all these rooms, and make sure I didn't miss anything. Whereas in this game, I've heard people purposely miss stuff. They know they're missing stuff, but they just got to, you know, either escape the threat or move on or whatever. And I found that very interesting.
Yeah, I think the big thing is that this game is all about scavenging. So you'll be always low. I mean, unless you're playing on easy, you will pretty much always be low on ammo and on resources. So your best bet is to explore as much as possible. But there are those situations where you enter a large area, which, you know, this is a very linear game, but there are definitely very open areas where you have buildings you can just walk right past and ignore. But in some of those situations, you will have either human enemies like kind of taking up refuge in there, that if they discover you, you will have a very difficult time getting through that, making the resources you'll be gathering there kind of pointless. So stealth is key. But the other thing are the creatures. They are infected, but they're not zombies exactly. The first kind of basic enemy is, they're called runners. Those are more zombie like than any other enemies in the game, and they just kind of charge at you and just try to take you down as quickly as possible. And they usually come in big hordes. But the other enemies, the ones that freak me out just completely, are the clickers, and they cannot see. They're completely blind. But they're basically like bats. They make this creepy clicking noise. That's the name, clickers. And they kind of can detect sound really easily.
Are you capable of replicating the clicking noise?
No.
Are you sure?
I am very sure.
Do you want to try anyway?
No, I don't. I'm sorry. Look it up on YouTube if you're curious.
Are you making the sound on YouTube?
Can I just say yes?
You'd be lying.
Maybe.
Okay. Well, I don't want to hear the sound. I want to hear you making the sound.
No, I refuse.
So can Naughty Dog at this point do no wrong? I mean, they've Uncharted 1, 2, 3, and now The Last of Us, and then going in on the PS4. Is this the sort of the developer to beat now? Or are they the top dog? I was hoping to slip that one by you guys.
No, you can't slip those by us.
Yeah, you guys are too quick. But yeah. What do you guys say? Is this the Andrew? Can they do no wrong?
I mean, I think Uncharted 2 is one of their best games. 1 and 3 are both pretty good too. But this kind of shows that Sony really supports Naughty Dog, because under any other publisher, I think The Last of Us would not exist, because it's such a different game than just about anything else on the market. And it still plays like a standard, you know, third person shooter. Like if you've played Uncharted, you'll feel right at home here with the shooting, but there isn't a ton of shooting. Like you can go into situations guns blazing, but in most of those situations, you'll end up with very little or no ammo at the end of that. And like very little resources. And if you come into an encounter that it'll be more difficult for you further down the line after that point. But it still plays like a standard third person shooter, but the themes of the game, the kind of the content, how it seems to be so focused on gathering resources on stealth, and just it's kind of very grim and twisted story It is a difficult game, but difficult game to get through. But it's, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I just wanted to ask, what about the interaction between your character and Ellie, who is along for the ride through the world of The Last of Us with you?
Yeah, I mean, Joel is a kind of the big difference between the two is that Joel was around the world before everything kind of went crazy. And Ellie was born into this world, so there will be a lot of really quiet situations where you're just kind of exploring ruined cities and different like stores, for example. And you'll come across like an old arcade machine, and Ellie will talk about how she wishes she could have played that back when it was out, or like a record store. And Ellie will be like, "I wish I," you know, basically she kind of she expresses like wonder through exploring these places that to Joel and to us are like just ordinary everyday things. But she's never been in a record store. She doesn't like, she's never been in a place with, you know, that would play live music where you could buy music, things like that. So the character growth with her, like kind of experiencing these things both for the first time and as someone who was born into this kind of disastrous world, it's really well done. And she is an amazing character, and she probably is one of the most mature characters in the game, believe it or not, despite the fact that she's only 14. So it's, yeah, there's some great interactions between the two, and yeah, very, very good stuff.
Awesome.
I could ramble about it more, but yeah, I won't.
All right. Yeah. That sounds like a game to play for sure. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, I think we should probably move on to our main topic, which I think is E3, is it called?
The Electronic Entertainment Expo, I believe.
I should probably Google that. Andrew, all yours.
All right, so
lead us.
Yeah, as we've been relentlessly talking about it throughout this episode and the last couple, E3 happened, guys. It was last week. Graham and Sean were there, but Jeff, Henry, and I weren't. So we just kind of wanted to take this opportunity to go over everything that happened during the week and
some of
just
the
kind
things.
Of what's that?
Not
we don't need to talk about everything.
Please.
No, okay. We will talk about some of the things, the biggest things.
Okay.
Of E3. I think we should mostly focus on the press conferences and then maybe mention some games that we saw from the show that were announced or
yeah, okay.
that were just like demonstrated at the show that we have that we're kind of most excited about. So I think we should just start kind of going the same way we did during our pre E3 show, and let's go through all the big three press conferences, and I guess we'll start with Microsoft. Henry, you weren't here last time for the pre E3 show, so you didn't get to make any big predictions, but I guess
what is it that you would have predicted now that you know what actually happened?
Yeah, now that you know everything, what would you have predicted?
I can tell you exactly what I would have thought. I got up early to watch the Microsoft conference, and I was ready for a train wreck. I was ready for something that people would be making fun of for years, and I was completely disappointed because it wasn't bad at all. They actually, for all the shortcomings of the Xbox One, they did pretty well. They didn't do any of the soccer mom stuff or any of the terrible Kinect games or like a lot of awful jokes and puns. They just stuck to mainly games, and I was totally shocked. I definitely would have predicted just an awful E3 from them.
I think they've definitely learned from their mistakes, and I think they knew that going into this, if they did anything different than just talk about games relentlessly till the end of their conference, that they would probably get, you know, skewered by the press and by fans, and
they already to an extent are because of all the Xbox One problems. So I think it was wise for them to avoid that and highlight their what strengths they do have.
Yeah, I mean, as I was watching this, you know, for a brief few moments, there were times watching some of these games and trailers and whatnot that I was like, man, you know what, I'm pretty excited about these games. And then and then it wasn't too long before I remembered, oh yeah, the Xbox One is kind of also has these restrictions that I'm not excited about. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine for a lot of people, even despite the fact that they threw all these cool looking games at us, there was still this kind of cloud, not the cloud, mind you, but a cloud over Microsoft regarding their policies. And
dark cloud?
Was it a powerful cloud?
It was probably very powerful. People were not, even despite their strong showing, people were still not very happy with Microsoft.
Yeah.
I mean, Graham and Sean, you guys were there, right? Actually at the press conference.
We were.
Yeah. How was the I guess the audience reaction to stuff? Like how did it seem from your perspective?
Well, so I mean, it was super canned. That's kind of always been the case with Microsoft stuff.
Yeah.
Microsoft just doesn't do live demos. Ever. So
they still had a fair share of technical problems, though.
They haven't done any of them since Windows 95.
probably. I thought it was fine. The reaction when people were there was, I mean, it was, you know, the important thing to remember is this was before the Sony thing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people in the room were the people who knew what was going on, as opposed to internet people. The $100 price difference between the PS4 and the Xbox One is kind of expected to people, like when you realize that one of them comes with the Kinect, another one doesn't come with its motion sensor camera.
I'll be honest, kind of, I don't want to jump ahead too far to Sony's yet, but I thought, like, having after Microsoft revealed the price, which I didn't think they would do at all, I didn't think they talk anything about the price, but the fact that they did, and then I was like, all right, Sony's probably going to have a price that's at best $50 cheaper, but still be close to that. And so I mean, after Microsoft revealed their price, I was kind of like, so this is kind of what we're going to expect from Sony too, isn't it?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So I actually had that conversation with Sean as we were walking out from the Microsoft thing to the EA thing, where it's like, okay, so what do you think the PS4 is going to be? And I was guessing what, $479.
Yeah, I said maybe $449.
Yeah,
pretty
but
close.
Then again, I was still thinking that it would come with the motion sync camera. Without that, I mean, it makes a lot of sense because it's a pretty impressive piece of tech. And otherwise, it's basically the same box.
Yeah, and honestly, if anything, I thought Sony would have like at least another like two SKUs.
Yeah,
like one that, you know, the basic model, and then the one that comes with the camera and some extra stuff. But
I'm still expecting more SKUs from both of them.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, the Xbox One, the first edition that went on pre-order was just called the Day One edition. So it makes me think maybe there will be a Day Two edition or everything after Day One edition.
I mean, it just seems like the Day One edition has specially branded controllers.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I feel like they put that there so they could have themselves an out in case they wanted to say, oh yeah, and there are these other two versions you can buy too.
Mm.
Yeah, it comes with special controller and an achievement.
Yeah, you get an achievement for buying it day one. So
yeah, though I think you can get that without getting the specially branded edition.
Yeah, probably.
You just have to turn it on the first day.
Yeah.
But I guess before we keep moving, I should say that I was more impressed with Sony's event than Microsoft's event. But I'm much closer than a lot of people between the two. Because, just now we're talking about the Microsoft thing. I was really intrigued by Below.
Yes, that looked really cool.
Yeah, Below and Project Spark were the most interesting for me.
Yeah, Project Spark. Sure. I got my hands on some Project Spark, and Project Spark looks... like, it takes the ideas from Kudu, but it also makes it easier to make than Little Big Planet, and it has these default behaviors and everything that just make it super slick. Like, for example, you can, like, if you drop in a main character who is, like, a twin-stick shooter character, it just automatically knows all the rules of that and automatically, like, changes the camera so it defaults to the top, and, like, people will really be able to make games in that.
That seems really cool.
I think Sunset Overdrive was a huge announcement.
Insomniac's
making a Microsoft exclusive. Like it's really a big deal.
And the trailer was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think Microsoft has more exclusives. And I mean, it's paying for them, but it has a pretty impressive lineup.
Yeah, they have at least more console exclusives. I mean, some of this stuff might be kind of like Titanfall, which is a Xbox One and Xbox 360 console exclusive, but it's also coming to PC.
Dead Rising 3.
Dead Rising 3,
Garden Warfare, for some reason, is a Microsoft exclusive.
I think so, yeah.
Xbox One coming later to the 360. I don't know. It's just interesting how that is going.
Yeah, Crimson Dragon looked cool, despite the fact that I could hear it, but I watched the trailer again later, and it seems cool.
Yeah, we couldn't hear it there either.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... and I honestly like I was really impressed as someone who is not, is kind of fallen out of multiplayer shooters. Titanfall seemed really impressive.
Yeah.
I also love jetpacks and mechs, so I'm on board with that. I don't know when I'll play it because I don't know when I'm getting an Xbox One.
Yeah. I'm on board with Titanfall, but probably on PC.
Yeah, exactly. That seems like that probably if you're not going to get
I can really understand how huge having it console exclusive is, because
definitely.
I mean, I'm not kidding anyone. I'm not anywhere near the majority of people who have a PC capable of that level of game.
Yeah.
Plus, it looks like Call of Duty with mechs, which makes sense considering who's making it. But that just means that the Xbox 360 fan base is someone that makes sense to cater to with it.
Yeah, I think with the right marketing, they could definitely get that draw that same audience, or at least a lot of that same audience. I mean, I'm sure a lot of them will just stick with Call of Duty. So
yeah, really depends on timing of release.
Yeah. Well, I believe that's early 2014.
Yeah.
Like Q1, Q2. So
that is the plan.
Yeah. So I mean, and I think the last thing I just like to mention, Metal Gear Solid 5 and The Witcher 3, two trailers I didn't expect to see at Microsoft's event, and both showed off some really cool stuff. So
those neither of them are exclusive.
Neither of them are exclusive. Yeah.
I'll guarantee that Metal Gear Solid 5 will sell better on the PS4. But
I am very excited about it
because it will release in Japan.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
But I mean, like, any last thoughts on Microsoft? Any of the specific games they showed off or talked about?
I will say that I'm going to remain cautiously optimistic about pretty much everything. Microsoft may, just because, you know, it's doom and gloom now, I would never say that I'm never going to buy that console. Things may things may change. I mean, 2 years from now, you never know. It could be a total switch around. So I can bash them and make fun of them and not be happy with their decisions now, but I'm certainly open to the idea of getting one in the future.
Yeah, same here. I mean, there are games I want to play on it, so I want one.
The one thing that sounded really smart of them is how they're expanding their achievement and challenge systems, because that was one of the big things on the 360 that in the beginning sold games for it. Achievement points.
Yeah,
like I know a lot of people like they don't like achievements, but money talks, and that's what sold them on it, and that's what caused Sony to eventually introduce trophies.
Yeah.
The thing to remember about all the Xbox One issues right now is that the PlayStation 3 had not the same issues, but a similar level of public relations nightmare over its issues at first. And it's a very good system now. I fully expect Microsoft, after they've taken their licks, to come back strong.
Yeah,
I mean, people are saying like there's like Henry said, doom and gloom and whatnot, but Microsoft is not out of this race by a long shot. I get a feeling this is going to be a Sony PlayStation 3 situation where they did pretty poorly at first, but eventually were able to come back through both like strong games and hopefully clarifying or at least making good on some of their policies in terms of like improving on them. The things that people are keeping people from getting the system, possibly, you know, changing things a little.
Yeah, I don't want the system at launch because I'm kind of worried about how this whole cloud thing and the online checks is going to work. But maybe like mid 2014 when they've got all the bugs worked out, then I'll probably be interested in a one.
Yeah. Me too. All right. So Sony's next, and I think it's probably the one that everyone seems to always go back to in terms of when they talk about E3 in general. Like, not only did Sony have some really cool looking games, they also both first and third party. They also kind of they did something I never expected them to do, which is head on address everything that people were concerned about.
As one of the people who was at home watching it on streams and watching Twitter, I have never seen a more positive reaction to an E3 conference.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's like I've never seen any like a majority of people think that one E3 conference is good. There's always some people will say, oh, well, they did this and this, so it wasn't that great. But like everyone who talks about Sony's event seems to have one or two good, really good things to say about it, at least, even if they aren't huge fans of the company.
I don't think there's ever been that loud a pop for a feature. Usually that kind of like cheering is like
lack
for
of
like
a feature.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If you think about
like, for a game, like when Twilight Princess was first shown, I mean, the crowd went crazy. But for this, it was like, we're not going to screw around. Basically, it was Sony saying, we're not going to, you know, F you guys. And everyone just went crazy. I've never seen that kind of reaction before.
Yeah,
it was quite telling.
Basically, them saying everything is the same as it was on the PS3, except now you have to play for online. But the fact that they just came out and said it like that, the fact that they said, you know, they kept the online thing kind of well hidden until shortly after. The fact that it kind of just came out swinging.
It's like the fighting words. Everybody was like really happy to see that.
I actually had to close Twitter off during the stream because I couldn't use both it and the I had a bad internet connection. I couldn't stream the conference and Twitter at the same time. And if I tried doing both, it would have completely killed my stream when Twitter went insane.
I couldn't follow Twitter because it was going too fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have killed my stream. Yeah. But when I logged on later, I saw a lot of the reactions everyone was having. I've never seen a company directly like go head to head with someone else before on these things. They usually go roundabout or refer to competitors.
Yeah, I think
they never go head on and just bam.
We haven't seen this kind of language since, I guess, the last time was the Saturn going up against the PlayStation.
Yeah, especially with that video they released, the PlayStation Europe account released. How to share games.
That was US. I
saw it from the Europe one.
Okay, well, I think they may have shared it everywhere because they should share it everywhere. But it was Yoshida, the president of Worldwide Studios, was in that, and Adam Boys, who's like their like indie liaison guy, basically. Two guys you really like at Sony. Like even before all this happened, is like, okay, yeah.
That was, and at that point, it was just salt on the wound.
Yeah. Just taking pause shots when they're down.
Every
Which, you
PR,
know sure.
Every PR thing that Microsoft did wrong, Sony ended up doing right.
Yeah. This is the best PR stuff I've ever seen Sony ever do or get, period. They usually manage to shoot themselves in the foot over and over again.
I mean, so far they haven't. I mean, they still could. It's possible. Yeah. You still got time before the system launches, but
they do.
I just want to remind everyone, one, there's no camera with this thing. So anyone expecting feature parity with any of that stuff,
no.
People aren't going to build PS4 games with the camera in mind because people aren't going to have it. Yeah. Secondly, they didn't announce any beta games. None.
Yeah, see, Graham, you were telling me, you got me kind of excited because you were telling me there was something
that,
big.
That was the rumor. Shot. That was the rumor.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah, even I'd heard that.
They had a montage. I mean, they had a montage as well as a montage of PS3 games.
They did announce stuff that was coming to the Vita, but nothing that was new for it or not expected.
Yeah, it's like ports of collections. They also spent half an hour on Sony Pictures.
For some reason.
Movies for gamers.
Yeah, and like really bad movies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because gamers have no taste outside of games.
So I just think it's very
we don't even watch movies.
This was not like pitching a perfect game out there.
Oh, no. I mean, they had problems, but their conference was
also... They hit like a walk-off homer in the ninth, but man, were they struggling early. So it's important to remember that. Also, they didn't announce any new PS4 games. They just talked about the ones that we already knew about.
No, they announced The Order. Which, you know, they only showed one trailer for
Like we didn't see anything of that game and it's not coming out anytime soon. And also like technically that's been announced before, but just kind of went away for a while. And like, we didn't get The Last Guardian there's a lot of stuff that should have happened in that conference that didn't.
We did get one new, PlayStation 4 game.
Okay.
It's Final Fantasy 15.
That's a bit of a stretch. New, I don't know.
New to the PS4.
Well, it's new to the logo.
It hasn't yet released on the PS4.
Yeah,
exactly.
The news is that Versus is now 15. That was confirmed at E3.
Well, I was gonna say
that was...
Sony had two big crowd pleasing moments. The first being the one they had at the end of the conference when they addressed all the policy stuff. The second being the one they had earlier where they not only announced Final Fantasy Versus 13 was 15, but then I was like, oh yeah, here's Kingdom Hearts 3. That's coming.
Yeah, that was
probably gonna be like 5 years from now, but you know.
They said in development, which is almost worse than just showing a year but at least it's something.
Yeah. The fact that it finally, I mean, it probably has existed for a little while, but the fact that it's officially exists.
Yeah,
people
stop
asking them for it.
That is a like a new development in the game industry. Is the we're working on it. We can't say anything yet, but we're working on it because like that. I mean, I guess it kind of started with Smash Brothers for the Wii U.
Yeah,
it's kind of like okay, hey, we know we're working on it. It's not anytime soon, but like. We know, like we got projects like that before that, like people put dates on or people had the expectation that they were ready, kind of like Beyond Good and Evil 2 type thing. But like now we're getting these like we're working on an announcements. Like, well, EA did both Star Wars Battlefront and Mirror's Edge 2 that way. There's just like, hey, we know we're gonna work on this game.
Just hold on
for like 3 or 4 more years, but we know we're trying. And like this was kind of the same thing, I guess. Yeah, the Kingdom Hearts thing was like, we know we're trying. We'll get to it.
They learned that gamers are very impatient, when we don't know if something's happening. If we do, though, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the other end of it is like the Beyond Good and Evil 2, Last Guardian. Like, you announced this like 6 years ago. Come on.
Well,
and games take
Last
a long
Guardian
time to
they
announce.
They have told us a couple times that it was coming out sometime soon.
And then they
said never mind. I don't think they ever did that with Beyond Good and Evil 3 or 2.
Well, 3.
Yeah.
Oh.
We're not even at 2 yet. Hold
John,
on.
John, we're still under embargo on that one.
Sorry. No one at Ubisoft told me I couldn't say anything.
No one at Ubisoft told you anything.
I know.
They never announced Beyond Good and Evil 2. Everyone just thinks it exists.
No, I mean, I think the Kingdom Hearts 3 thing was still just a cool like a nod to fans, just like we want as many crowd pleasing moments in this as possible. So here's Kingdom Hearts 3, and here's like 10 seconds of some kind of gameplay footage. It looks really nice. So I'm not a big Kingdom Hearts guy, but it still was a really cool moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the reason that Final Fantasy Versus 13 being 15 now is big is it's a mainline thing now. It's going to happen eventually.
Yeah,
you can't skip 15 completely.
Yeah,
I mean you could skip Versus 13 because it's a side project and you just go on to 15.
I mean they could like next year at E3 be like Final Fantasy 16 and then 15 is still in development. And then that'll come out before 15.
Well, you never know with Square because 14 was in development, released, and now it's in development again.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I next year we'll probably see the release of Half-Life 4. It won't be 2 episode 3, and it won't be 3.
I don't think the internet
4.
Can handle that.
Be like, screw
that. Great. They should do that.
It's like, oops, we forgot to register the domains, and you guys already took 3 and 2 episode 3. You guys got us on that. But we got 4. Yeah.
Well, see, we really can't count to 3.
I'd be okay with
we
that.
Don't know where that is.
So, yeah, Sony. Good job. Good job, Sony. You guys did good.
Well played.
So, yeah, finally, last but certainly not least, that
possibly
Nintendo
least.
Had... Possibly least.
This year?
Like, depending on who you ask, yes.
Currently slightly least.
They're not first. We'll just say that.
They didn't win or place, but they showed.
They did. They tried hard. Yeah, they didn't. They had no press conference.
No, they didn't
did
try
have,
hard. That was the thing.
Well, they tried.
They don't get a participation medal either because they didn't show up.
Well, they did, but just in a different capacity. Either way, Nintendo Direct happened is what I'm trying to say here.
That's accurate. Nintendo Direct happened in other regions.
Yeah.
Didn't quite happen in North America.
I watched it 3 hours later.
That was problematic, wasn't it?
Not having a Nintendo conference seemed weird. I know it was probably a good decision for them in the end, but it didn't seem right.
I think it's probably not a good decision, but then again, I don't know the sales numbers on that. Like I don't know whether it would make a difference to them in the marketplace, and I don't know how much it costs for them to do it. But I think as far as impact here, it was rough.
Was it? Yeah, I mean, everyone always looks forward to it. I mean, it definitely seemed, it felt wrong.
Yeah, it was weird, and yeah, they had problems with their stream. So, lots of problems.
Yeah, Nintendo of America kept telling everyone to watch the UK stream.
Yep. But I mean, they showed what they promised to show and had one surprise or maybe two, depending on.
So let's talk about the first thing, shall we?
Sure.
Retro's new game is Donkey Kong Country.
Now, if Lucas was here, he'd be pretty. He'd be,
Well, Donkey Kong Country is pretty cool.
Look, like from what we saw, it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good Donkey Kong Country. I just with all the hype that they put to Retro's working on something, like that is another Donkey Kong Country. Especially after Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, where it seemed like they were setting up Monster Games to kind of take over in like a 343 kind of way. Like we're going to do all the Donkey Kong Country from now on. Nope. Apparently not.
And I mean, there's nothing. Nothing wrong. I'm sure the game's gonna be fine.
I'm sure the game's gonna be really good. I just don't care about Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah, I think Retro was good at revitalizing franchises, but I think after they revitalize them, they should move on and revitalize another franchise or do something new. They don't like this doesn't seem like the kind of thing they need to work on.
Or more specifically, like you look back at Metroid Prime, and I'm not sure another studio that Nintendo had could have done a third Metroid Prime.
Metroid Prime was so fundamentally
Donkey Kong Country is a 2D platformer. I think they have like six 2D platformer studios.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they have two Mario studios. Make the Mario studio that isn't working on a new Super Mario Brothers game supposedly make the next Donkey Kong, and then the other studio is working on 3D World. So
yeah,
you could have done that, you know. And then Retro could have done Star Fox.
Too bad the Jungle Beat guys are now doing the main series Mario game. Well, not too bad because they're doing a really good job. But
yeah, I was gonna say, like, it's not too bad.
The other team that has Donkey Kong experience. But yeah, so I don't know. I guess people were kind of expecting a new IP or something.
I think people were just expecting something different from them.
Yeah.
Anything really, and you know, it'll be fun. I'm sure it'll be a fine game. It's coming out in November, right? I think it's November. Yes. Yeah. So I mean,
so that is kind of a like announced last released first of kind of their lineup.
Yeah. So that was probably the biggest, I guess, the biggest surprise.
Yeah,
maybe
only surprise.
Well, then of course I don't know if you want to jump into Smash Brothers, but Mega Man Smash Brothers, you know,
I mean, it's an announcement.
I don't think that's the
biggest surprise with Smash Brothers.
Wii Fit Trainer.
The Wii Fit Trainer?
that might be the biggest surprise of the entire
That's Nintendo. It's so great. Like, no one really asked for it, but Nintendo was just like, oh, we're going to do it for fun, and it's going to work. And everyone's like, yeah, okay.
But also, like, if you look at, like, the biggest Nintendo franchises since the last Smash Brothers game, like,
Wii Fit.
Like, I feel like we're going to get Miis. I feel like we're going to.
Probably.
Because I mean, Wii Sports.
Although you could also say that the villager could count as a Mii in some way.
No,
yeah. I don't know.
Animal Crossing's super popular, but it's not. Won't remind anyone of Wii Sports.
I just want to say that it's amazing that one of the villager's moves is to grab things out of the air and shove it in his pockets.
Yeah. All right. That is pretty.
Yeah. Are you prepared for the dojo to update regularly?
I fell in that hole last time.
Remember daily updates?
I think I'm going to try to keep. I mean, I know I follow a bunch of people who are excited, so I don't know how many things are going to be surprises to me.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try to just like not follow the dojo this time because I loved Brawl, but
I got up and my expectations for that game were, man. So and some of the days I was like, here's how to jump. Like, Sakurai. The day you don't check is the day when they, like, reveal Lucas.
Yes. Oh, wait, what? Sonic?
Yeah.
What?
Man. I didn't check one day, and then the internet was just exploding with Sonic, and I was like, what? I missed one that was good.
So I think it's safe to say Sonic
never
checked
the dojo, so I was never disappointed by the updates.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm going to do this time, I think. But yes. Yeah, Graham, you were saying Sonic will be back.
I think it's safe to say because now Nintendo has an even closer connection with Sonic with its publishing deal.
Yeah.
Well, the only Sonic games
Sonic
that have sold
now is a Nintendo character for all intents and purposes.
Basically.
Basically. Those are the only ones that's gone.
Yeah, probably because Snake was kind of like. I think the only connection Snake had to Nintendo systems was Twin Snakes, and people pretty much have forgotten about that.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, 3D came out, but
that's right.
That
less cartoony character. I say less cartoony, not more realistic. we can get like Bayonetta or something because that could work.
I think they are trying to pad out the females on the roster because that was kind of needed. So I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. We'll see. I don't want this to devolve into who should be in the Smash Brothers roster podcast.
Yeah, let's not do.
We could have one,
That'll be our other podcast. So we'll start that in a few weeks.
It's just one character each time. Yeah, we just talk about what the moveset would be.
Hey guys, guess what?
What?
Princess Peach will probably be in this game.
No, you're crazy.
Well, yeah.
You know, right?
She was in it last time. So
yeah, Zelda will be there too. Yeah.
Possibly.
I'm sure they will have at least one version, one other version of Link that's not regular Link.
I don't know, because here's the thing. If you saw that trailer, Toon Link is the conductor of the train track in one of the levels.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's...
Well, they could have... Okay, well, then they'll have another version of Mario that's just like Mario, but...
Paper Mario.
Yeah, Paper Mario. Yeah.
I'm firmly in the camp of there should be a Paper Mario. He has a completely different moveset.
Here's the connection. Paper Mario Sticker Star was all about stickers. Smash Brothers Brawl was all about stickers, and I'm sure they will return in the next one. There you go. Paper Mario.
Here you go. What annoying item will be back? Will show up now?
All
See, now we're just getting into the speculation.
Man, I want the umbrella back. I want the umbrella. My favorite item.
I'm excited about Smash Brothers, but there's not really much else to say about it. It's the 3DS version looks. I like the look of the 3DS version.
Yeah, I think they're doing a good job with like kind of like a pseudo cel shaded thing.
Yeah, and it's cool that that version will have different stuff, so that people will end up buying both. I might be one of those people. I don't know yet.
Is there cross platform multiplayer with
there
that
is not,
or not?
There is not cross. Yeah.
That would be too cool, I guess.
But I believe it's going to be online on both. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah,
it has to be online on the 3DS.
Not necessarily.
The other stuff they showed, they had Super Mario 3D World, which is Mario 3D Land except bigger and with co-op. Which
and Cat Mario Land.
That's oh yeah, and it has cats.
Cat Mario Land.
Cats.
Yeah, I was only a cat for 10 seconds when we played.
And then you reverted back to koala.
No, then I reverted back to tiny, tiny Toad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
I was not good.
I'm very happy that Peach is back, and I'm very happy they're kind of going for that.
Yeah, so Peach controls like Peach, even with other suits. Like, if you're Cat Peach, you hover as a cat.
That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Peach is the best from
Hover Cat.
Too, so.
Hover Cat.
Yes, Hover Cat.
Someone made one of those once. It was kind of disturbing.
I don't.
Never mind.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
You don't
want
Mario Kart 8?
That was a fun
Mario
game.
Kart?
It's fun.
Looks good.
Yeah.
You see the logo? It looks like a loop where you go
like a racetrack,
the side and upside down, like as if there weren't gravity.
We have finally found out why they went to numbers.
Yeah, this is their plan all along. So they could have the 8 in the logo look like.
I'm pretty sure it was just to save on localization.
I think it was how many times better than Graham I am at it.
I don't think that's it. So the E3 demo, the way it was set up is player one had to use the gamepad and player two had to use the sideways remote motion control.
No.
There was no option for like the logical remote nunchuck thing that
they did say
everybody
that
I know
that.
Uses.
Do we know if it's going to use it?
That was not confirmed.
No? It sounded like this. Well, it was not an official person that told us, but...
Yeah, like it was... no one told us, is what you're saying.
It was the booth person, which may not mean anything.
Yeah, I talked to a couple of the refs about it, and they're like, well, we can't confirm anything that's not in this demo.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, also, important to note, nowhere in Nintendo's booth was there at all, or anywhere else in the show, for that matter, was there a Pro Controller. Ever. Anywhere.
Which, that's really weird, because that controller is pretty nice, actually.
Yeah. I do not have much... interest in playing games like Smash Bros. And Mario Kart without that Pro Controller. It looks so good.
Yeah, or just the gamepad, but I guess if you're playing multiplayer, you kind of have no other option, but then that's, you know, to have only one person play with the gamepad.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
So, I mean, Mario Kart, interesting. The anti-grav makes the tracks different, but, like, the controlling when you're anti-grav is identical.
For me, I'm excited because it's not intentionally, but it seems like I've been skipping every other Mario Kart. So this
well,
is because
every other Mario Kart's been on a handheld.
That's exactly, there you go. I mean, I was planning on picking up Mario Kart 7, and then I was like, wait, there's going to be one coming out for the Wii U, and I have this Sonic racing game, which is pretty awesome. So I'll just play that until the Mario Kart comes out.
That's
and also, everyone we know that was playing 7 stopped.
Yeah.
As impressive as Mario Kart 8 looks, I'm not sure it's better than Transformed. I think Transformed is going to have
it. In terms of visuals or?
In terms, well, I mean, visuals is fine. I mean, the Nintendo aesthetic, Mario Kart 8 looked a lot like Nintendo Land in like that upscaled but very simple Nintendo way with, we'll just put in textures here and there with the extra processing power. So it looked fine. But yeah, I think it's going to be, I think Transformed is a better playing, better looking game.
Well, I did notice, I don't know if you did, Graham, when on the level where you can drive on canvas, the it did feel slightly different, like you were, it had some give like canvas has. So I wonder if there's going to be more...
like weird surfaces?
Yeah.
Hmm. That could be interesting. Yeah, so like we didn't see too much of that, but yeah, if that's a thing, that could be interesting. The glider stuff is dumb because it's like, hey, well, now you can glide sideways off a wall, which is, yeah. I mean, it's just not interesting to me in like a gameplay way.
Nah, anyway. Unfortunately. And then, yeah, so I mean, the Mario Kart 8, Super Mario 3D World both look great. They also had some, finally some gameplay of Bayonetta 2, looks like more Bayonetta, which
it has co-op,
which they didn't talk about at the show.
Yeah, they didn't have us play it either.
But that could be interesting. I think the thing that I think a lot of us are most excited about, well, I'm just going to say at least me, Henry,
yeah,
Jeff, and Sean. I don't know if Graham is excited about it, but X.
X is my number one.
I'm excited about it. I'm just waiting until I know what it is and when it's coming.
Yeah, fair enough. Monolith Soft made Bat and Kaitos and Xenoblade. I'll drink their Kool-Aid. I'm just so excited for whatever game they'll make.
It looks really nice.
It looks very really cool. Nice. Yeah. But again, we've seen good-looking games with trailers be not very good, so Graham's right. We should be patient, but
I just don't know if
four or five times, just looks awesome.
U.S. is going to get that game before 2016 at this point. Like, I don't know.
Fair enough. Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm willing to wait. Why not? I can wait.
Well, because the other thing with the Direct was they gave us some gameplay stuff, and everything else that already had dates was pushed back some more.
Yep.
Yeah.
Feel like,
yeah, I have a feeling that the dates moving is sort of jockeying around what Microsoft and Sony are doing.
I think it's Nintendo continuing to underestimate the amount of work that goes into high definition game development.
I agree.
That was the problem with the launch window stuff. But then
that,
like,
and online.
Yeah.
They're underestimating the putting things online well and making things look really good.
A lot of the stuff that's getting delayed isn't online, you know? Like,
well, they have
Pikmin 3 yet? Like, why do we not have Pikmin 3 yet?
Oh, why don't we have the Wonderful 101 yet? Those two should have been. I should have been playing those games already.
Yeah.
Wii U launch window just keeps getting bigger.
Yeah. Man. So yeah, it has extended.
Luxurious windows.
Yeah, it's been extended till September, which is when the Wonderful 101 comes out, which I think is the last launch window game that they had talked about. So.
No, Rayman Legends.
Well, it comes out before.
That also comes out. The last Nintendo one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I will just one more thing I want to say: Wind Waker HD looks super nice.
Yeah,
I'm excited to play that again.
Yeah,
I have to say I don't understand people who say that they still prefer the GameCube graphics over those what we've seen of Wind Waker HD.
It looks very similar to me, just nicer. I mean, I think there's a little more bloom, but I guess unless you really hate bloom.
Specifically the first screenshots and the first shots they'd shown were like outside and like the first like island scenes and things like that where it's really sunny. And if you look at any of the footage of like inside dungeons and like basically any other scene but that scene, and it's not that sunny, so it's not that much of an effect. So I don't know. On the show floor, they had like video of the GameCube version running beside each kiosk.
Just in case you didn't notice, man, this game looks better.
Yep.
There you go. Nintendo did okay. They kind
Nintendo
of underwhelmed.
Did what Nintendo
but...
does.
Yeah.
Yeah. They know that people are going to want to buy their Nintendo IPs that they've always been known for, and it's not really going to matter what anyone else does.
I just hope more people buy Wii U's, because I want more games on the Wii U. But to get more games on the Wii U, more people need to buy Wii U's. And buy Wii U's, we need more games on the Wii U.
Yep.
the trouble with the Wii U is it's becoming what the Wii was, because now it's going to be behind the other two.
It's
not as far behind, but still behind.
Yeah. But hey, with Donkey Kong, Mario, and Mario Kart, we got sales.
I think a more apt comparison, as sad as this is to say, is the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
I mean, it has stronger IPs, but, you know, EA didn't release its games on the Dreamcast because it didn't have a big install base. It was slightly behind. It had this weird gimmicky screen in the controller thing. It had super fun games, just not a heck of a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I think. Well, I think. I don't know. I'd like to believe that Nintendo games are more popular than anything that the Dreamcast had.
No, absolutely. And that's the difference. That's the difference. But people expect GameCube level sales.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 I wasn't expecting anything better than that. Really.
People will buy the Wii U and they will get their 10 to 15 first and second party Nintendo games and be happy with the system.
Yeah, sure. I'll be okay with that. Once we actually start getting games in August, so less than 2 months from now, and then we'll have games to play on.
Until they delay them again.
Just wait for the next direct.
Until they delay them again.
Yeah. Wow. Bravo.
I did not expect a song from Graham.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. All right. Yeah. So yeah, Nintendo did what Nintendo does. Yep. All right. Excellent. I'm applauding myself for that one.
Good job, so Nintendo dude.
Thanks. I think so. We have a thing going up. Oh, actually, no. It'll be up by the time you're listening to this. It'll be all of our games we're most excited about that were shown at E3. But how about we do something a little different? We each go around and pick the one game from E3 that probably surprised us.
Okay.
The most. So I will start with. Let's start with Graham. You were there at E3. You've actually played stuff, so.
Yeah. So, man, it's been an interesting show for me because I haven't been particularly excited by how to put this, any of it.
That's a shame. I've been very excited about all of it, but
yeah, I mean, they're interesting things, but like I'm not more interested in them after the show than I was before the show. Like I still want Nintendo's 3DS lineup and things like that.
Understandable.
But I guess the man, it's rough. So I guess I was most surprised by the quality of Project Spark.
Oh, okay.
And I guess I talked a little bit about that earlier, but like they were just showing off some of the things people built in like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And basically people built like completely functional, accurate recreations of like Limbo and like Geometry Wars. Like I don't know if you saw the trailer, like those are all like not just like things that they had internally. Those were, they brought in some creators from something. I'm not sure where the people came from. But like they just have them totally playable on the show floor, and it was like, hey, you want to check this out? Like one thing I was interested in the most to me is that you can make games that themselves contain the creation tools that you use to make games. And the one they were showing off in the show floor was called the Creator, where it was a platformer where you had button things that could like make land under you and like throw like texture paint and stuff like that. But I was talking to him about how far you could go with that. And specifically, I had one thing on my mind earlier after he showed off the like brain screen where you can program people to do things with button presses and like have AI and things like that. It was just like super interface based and really easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as I can tell, and I asked him specifically about this, you could recreate Carnage Heart totally. In this game where you could build robots with parts and AI and chips, and like that's totally a thing you could just do.
Wow.
Like it's that capable.
That sounds really cool, actually.
And also you don't necessarily need an Xbox One to play it, because I believe it might be Windows 8 exclusive, but you can play it on PCs.
Awesome. And I don't know if you have a tablet or tablet or not, but are you planning on doing any of the kind of the smart glass integration? Because I think of all the games that kind of showed off that stuff, that seemed like the one that would use it the most, or at least the best.
So I mean, I will at some point. I mean, I have like a first gen iPad that's floating around somewhere, but I've used smart glass stuff on my iPhone before with the 360 stuff. So I mean, I like weird dumb stuff. I used it with Dance Central 3 or whatever, so like I'll try it. Mm-hmm. If it's super good, I'll find a device that'll more capably use it.
You'll find a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like.
And you kind of sold me more on Project Spark than they did. Not to say I wasn't impressed by it from the press conference, but
yeah, it's something you really have to dig into, and look what you can do. I'll like make my buddy. But no, it's just how easy you can build full actual games. And they weren't really showing off that as much as they were showing off kind of the step one, the like have fun in your sandbox part.
No, well, they're Yeah, they're gonna show like the sort of introduction to really get into it, and then.
Yeah.
But that game really interested me, but I think I have to wait and see how many people I know pick it up or are planning on picking it up.
Yeah.
Because it seems like a game that you don't want to play alone.
Yeah, if you build a game for no one.
Yeah, it's like building Little Big Planet levels. And just
it's like ever making anything in RPG Maker and expecting anyone to boot it ever.
That's true.
But yeah, so Jeff, what were you most excited about? What most surprised by, I guess?
Probably the crew, actually.
Hmm.
Yeah, actually,
despite
you know what?
Not, yeah. I'm not a huge racing person, but
yeah, there were a lot of racing games this year, and the crew didn't stick out crazy amounts to me. So what makes it interesting to you?
Mostly I'm a huge MMO person, so. Like, all of the online stuff seemed really interesting. Like, being able to go and do co-op missions and help each other out, sort of, in a live environment.
Hmm.
Just seemed different from all of the other car games that we inevitably get at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, Drive Club, you're driving in a club. That seemed like fun online, right?
Yeah, but no, just like the stuff other than just racing. Like, there seemed to be a lot of sort of more video game style missions that you could undertake.
Someone made a Smuggler's Run comparison when talking about that game, and now I'm excited about
it. Oh,
so.
can you pick up and then deliver contraband?
I don't know. Maybe I think that's one of the mission types. I'm not 100%, but
I just flash back to my so Smuggler's Run War Zones and the GameCube port had all had this like fleshed out 2-on-2. Multiplayer mode.
I played that so much.
That was the best thing.
Yeah, man.
Anyway,
just imagine that, but online with a bunch of people.
Oh, I don't want that.
Oh, okay.
Can I have it offline?
You could probably play it offline too.
I'm
not speaking for the developer, but there's probably some offline multiplayer in that game.
I'm sure you can play with one other person.
Yeah, probably.
Mm.
We'll see. Yeah, I think of all the – I kind of agree with you, Jeff, of all the racing games. Like, a lot of them are just like, oh, this is that game, but nicer looking. The crew
and
the one that stood out.
Racing always happens at the beginning of a launch because it's easy
to – Or at the end.
Yeah, well, it's easy to put really nice graphics in without too much trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cars look nice.
So you can really show what the console can do. Without the years of experience that usually results in better games at the end of a generation.
Yeah.
And I think for you, Jeff, there are probably like more games with that kind of persistent like online multiplayer. Like Ubisoft also revealed The Division, which looks cool. You know, there's Titanfall, there's Destiny, probably the big one. So lots of very multiplayer focused games of the show, which seems really cool. All right, so Henry, how about you?
Yo.
Biggest surprise.
I would say the biggest overall surprise was how many games I was actually interested in. I haven't been this wowed by an E3 in quite some time. Obviously very excited for X, Final Fantasy 15, Kingdom Hearts 3, Metal Gear Solid 5. I would say probably the biggest, I guess, surprise.
Were you following the same show that I was at?
It's different for you, Graham. You were working. We were playing.
I guess, man, I'm the least excited by this E3 than I've
You know what, Graham, it's good that we have a mix of opinions.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just, you know, ignorantly positive, but
no,
I would say the biggest...
I think this specifically hit your sweet spots. Like,
it could have, yeah.
Like, the only thing it could have done is announce a Chrono Trigger's direct sequel.
That's pretty much the only thing I was missing.
Because you got Final Fantasy, you got Kingdom Hearts, you got more, even though you don't have any specifics on X. And
I would say the biggest surprise to me, though, was the announcement of Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront 3. Just because I know it's got such a dedicated hardcore fan base that have been clamoring for a threequel, I guess, for a very long time.
Yeah.
And just the fact, I know not much was shown, but I would say that announcement to me was sort of...
It was a logo.
Well, really nothing was shown, right? Yeah. But the fact that it's being made by, you know, a pretty veteran studio, I would say the fact that EA did that,
it was a logical thing to do after EA bought the rights and, like, you know...
Sure, which is why, in one way, it was so exciting, because oftentimes it's like we talk about, you know, why would a developer do this when the logical thing to do would be to do the opposite? And so it was, yeah, I would say that was sort of the most pleasantly surprised I was.
Okay.
But that one, I mean, that one's sort of tied with a lot of other ones too. Yeah, I would say that one, we'll say that one for diversity's sake.
Okay. Sean. Well,
remember E3 we were at a couple days ago?
I know. I recall that part at least. Probably the one that most surprised me was Destiny, actually, because I had zero interest in it after it was first revealed.
It also didn't help that they basically showed none of the game. Like, they just talked about possibilities.
Yeah. But everything that they said was things I don't have any interest in, generally.
It's like Halo-themed Borderlands. That's what that game is.
Yes. Which is
congratulations.
More fun to me than what it sounded like it would be when they were first talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, originally it did sound kind of like, we're making another Halo game that isn't called Halo.
Yeah.
Well, I like Halo. My problem with it was the whole, it's all interconnected, you go everywhere with these people, all this stuff, and I was like, okay, I don't care about that. But seeing it actually play through and seeing that you can do it by yourself or with people, it just adds more strategic options to it. I'm more interested in it now.
Yeah, it's like an MMO that isn't an MMO, because you can play the whole thing solo and then meet up with people randomly as you're playing, or you grab a buddy, play through the whole thing with a buddy, just do whatever you feel like it.
Right, and I like the whole upgrading your weapons to add new features or get better at doing things so you can really make your character your character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Destiny seems cool. I pretty much everything that's in my five most anticipated, I think, like stuff like Final Fantasy 15 and that actually being a Final Fantasy game that I'm excited about again, which is, I think, is really nice to have, because I love that series. But honestly, the biggest surprise for me was, in terms of my feelings on something going from being completely uninterested in it to really almost wanting to buy a system just for it. I want to say Fantasia Music Evolved.
Okay. Yeah.
I went like that dumb, awful, terrible, just worst trailer I've seen in a while of that game. Of course, it's just a teaser trailer.
And I don't know. People moving around and Bruno Mars. And,
so. Yeah. Like, it didn't give you any idea of what that game was. And yeah,
well,
I don't
you
really
move
care
around
about.
And there's Bruno Mars in it. That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah. But it's like, all right. So, because me and Graham talked about the possibility of Harmonix's next thing being Fantasia before it was actually revealed, because that's what the rumors were. Yeah. And then it actually was revealed like, oh, sweet, a Fantasia game. And then it was like, oh, here's Bruno Mars and people looking stupid doing things with the Kinect. I'm like, oh, okay. Right. I don't. Sorry, Harmonix. I'll wait for the next thing, I guess, from them, because I really like those guys. But this, like, I watched like a lengthy gameplay demo of it, and it looks really impressive. Like, it doesn't seem to be as like it. The motions that you make seem to be more subtle than, let's say, a Dance Central, because you're not actually dancing. You're more like conducting.
Well, let's
almost
be clear. You were never actually dancing.
I was never actually dancing. That's true.
That's probably for the best.
Yes, it that is very much for the best. But yeah, this is also the first Kinect thing at all, like anything that even remotely relates to the Kinect that I'm excited about.
You didn't? And I weren't interested in Gunstringer?
I kind of, but like at the like for me, like I just it was like anything Kinect based. Just I don't know, it just rubbed me the wrong way, because it seemed like a lot of that stuff just didn't work as well as it should have
at all. Yeah.
At all, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Dance Central was cool. I played a little Dance Central. I don't remember which one it was at this point. There's three of them now. I know it wasn't the new one, but anyway, yeah. But so, yeah, this seems really impressive. I liked, like, of course, the demo I watched was of Bohemian Rhapsody. So I'm like, all right, sweet. Bohemian Rhapsody, I can kind of remix it in a really cool way that kind of doesn't ruin what that song was, but, you know, you kind of make it your own. And the Disney thing is, it's not like recreating the film or Fantasia 2000 or anything. It's more just like, it's like a setting or a backdrop.
What if it created only Fantasia 2000 and not the original?
Then I would definitely not be interested. Yes, it's a good thing they didn't call Fantasia 2000 and Music Evolved. Then I'd be like, no, thank you. But yeah, it seems really like I could not care less about this to, I might buy an Xbox One for this. I know it's coming out for 360. and I could just get a Kinect for the 360 and play it that way. But if I'm going to play this game, I want to play it. Correctly. I want to play the best version. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'm pleasantly surprised by that.
Like, one of the big things with Kinect games is that I really hope the new Kinect is as improved as they say it is.
It is.
Well, they did have a very nice demonstration of its capabilities at E3.
Because I've run into a lot of problems with my Kinect with just room size and color contrast.
It didn't seem to have those issues at E3. The one thing it did have issues with was telling when you're not happy.
Yep. It can tell your facial recognition, but only happy.
It had neutral and happy, and didn't have anything else for.
So basically, the new Kinect does not like angry Kirby's.
No,
it doesn't see them. Yeah, okay. It doesn't acknowledge their existence.
Their faces don't exist for.
I think we should all follow that. Let's just not acknowledge the angry Kirby's.
No, it acknowledged them. It just didn't acknowledge their expressions. Their face was blank if they were not happy.
I'm just picturing whenever I see someone angry on the internet, they just have no face. That's just what I'm going to picture from now on.
That's creepy.
I kind of picture
is creepy, though.
There was an image that went around, which was Kirby with the Animal Crossing face.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. That could be too. Anyway, so yeah. E3, guys. It's over. Everyone survived. Graham and Sean survived.
I don't know. We still have lots of previews to do.
Yeah, I'm going to say survive is generous.
You survived long enough to make it to this podcast, so hang in there a little longer. Then get those previews out, and then you can, I guess you can do what you want after
that. Hey, we have previews up. We're continuing to write them. We'll have more up later this week. There's some interesting stuff. Just because I'm not super excited about stuff that I wasn't excited about before, I got more information on things that seem good. So there's some stuff to share.
E3 may be over, but for us, it'll probably never be over for us.
E3, E3's never over, you know, in here.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume you're pointing at your heart?
Yeah.
Your chest? Okay. All right.
Let's stop.
Okay.
All right. So we'll call it for this episode. We could keep talking about E3 forever. We're going to stop recording it. We will be back in 2 weeks with some new releases, actually. We'll be able to talk about, some games are coming out, you guys.
Yeah, some games are coming out, yeah.
Yeah. But we will get to that next time. For now, for Henry, Jeff, Sean, and Andrew, I'm Graham. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter @snackbargames.